lead in to our topic of growth and growing up in Jesus. Let's pray as we begin. Father, once again, we sit in your presence. It's your word, and we look at your word about your Son, our Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will illuminate the scriptures this morning so that we can understand you more and learn to follow you more closely and to enter into deeper fellowship. Lord, as we continue to look at this passage today, we ask that you would make it fresh for us. Help us to understand and embrace your calling and your provision to help us grow up in the church and as the church. We ask that you would reveal yourself and your truth. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, when we started the exploration of this passage last week, we looked at a couple of things. We asked the question, what is maturity? What does it mean to be all grown up? Sure, it's growing up, it's getting wiser, it's looking at things from the perspective of years and experience, but in Christ, maturity is a little bit more than that. It's about growing up into being our part of the body of Christ. Maturity happens in good company. Maturity doesn't happen by itself. We can sit and we can learn to a certain extent. You know, we can read our Bibles and we can pray and we can do all of those discipleship things we're supposed to be doing. But ultimately, our best growth happens when we're growing together as the body, as God intended us. We remember that God created us uniquely, and our maturity might look a little different from each other. We all don't look the same, right? I talked last week about, you know, making shortbread and cutting them out with the top of the glass. So every shortbread looks the same. I hope you got a bit of Walker's shortbread this morning on the coffee bar. It wasn't quite what I intended. I had hoped to bake, but the week went a little different. But we're not cookie cutter Christians. We're not all cut out of the same mold. We don't all look identical from one another. And as we grow up in the Lord, God uses our gifts and uses our special personalities and allows us to be something very special. And yet, here we are separate and here we are together, and we are the body of Christ. Each one of us is a part of it. We were reminded that we are not fully mature as much as we are maturing. We're in process, and we will continue to be in process until we die. Then we will be made complete. We'll have all the ingredients. Right now, where you're at, God's not done with you. You ain't finished yet. You may feel finished, but you ain't done until you're done, if you understand what I'm saying. For a mature believer, Jesus is the North Star. When we get off course, we reset, we take a bearing. We look to Jesus, we get our face pointed at Jesus, and we start walking. We just keep going. When we fall down, we get back up. When we mess up, we stand up, and we turn right back to Jesus. Today, we're mostly concentrating on the second part of this verse that we started to look at. And it is Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 through 16. I want to read verse 1. I've walked off with or lost my remote. I don't know what I did with it this morning. Just a moment. I may need help from above because it ain't here. Oh, there it is. It wandered with me, probably. That never happens to me. I never wander. Not. Okay, let's read the first verse as an introduction, and then we're going to jump down and pick up in the seventh verse. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you've received. Now let's jump down to verse 7. And I'm going to read from Ephesians 4, 7 through 16. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. I want to talk about three things this morning, three things I didn't get to talk about last week. I want to talk first about God's calling, and then I want to talk about God's provision, and then finally we want to talk about God's intention. God's calling and provision lead us to God's intention. They take us where we need to go. They lead us to God's plan for our lives. The first thing we're talking about is God's calling. We're starting off where we started off last week with that first verse. I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. There's a word calling is kind of a unique word, and it repeats itself as you go down through the passage. In verse 4, it's repeated there twice, this idea of calling. Well, who's this passage addressed to? Who is the Ephesian passage addressed to? Doesn't list any names at the top. It means it's a general address. It's not addressed specifically for one particular person. It's not addressed to Pastor Timothy over here getting ready to run his first church. It's not addressed to Barnabas or any of the other. It's addressed openly. And that usually means that it's to be read by everybody. Well, why is that important? It's important because when we usually talk about the word calling, we usually talk about a pastor or a missionary or somebody who has some special calling. He has the call of God on his life. You know, we make that very different. And yet, it says here, it's suggesting here that it's not just addressed to pastors or it's not just addressed to missionaries or somebody with a special calling. It's addressed to you. It's addressed to everybody. You are called. That's what it's suggesting. And we are called to live a life worthy of Jesus. Well, we often refer to the pastor's calling as the ministry. You ever heard it? The ministry. He's in the ministry. But if we're all called, what is the ministry? If all of us are called, it means that the ministry is what you're doing on behalf of Jesus. It's your part. It's doing your part on behalf of the Lord Jesus. And your ministry might look different from my ministry. The Spirit gives each of us gifts, spiritual gifts, in order to do ministry according to His will. He decides which one we get or what ones we get. But together, we're doing the ministry. Me, you, all of us, we're doing the ministry of Christ. And the concept of the body of Christ is built on this idea. You know, so we can't skip over the idea of calling and jump right into the rest of it, because you have to understand that you are called and you are a part of the body of Christ. You want to really get a background. If you read 1 Corinthians 12, it's actually background to this passage. And so you can take the two passages and put them side by side, and you'll see a lot of those same concepts that Paul talks about when he talks about the body. He's doing it in short form here. But it's got the same general idea. All the body, all the different parts, all the different gifts, they all work together and become one body. But God didn't just call you into ministry and leave you hanging. He provided something. He provided help so that you can do what He called you to do. And I call that God's provision. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. That's how this section starts. In the body of Christ, every person has a share of God's grace. Without grace, you wouldn't be part of the body of Christ. Without grace, you wouldn't know Jesus. It's that grace that God extends, that that subtle calling of the Holy Spirit, or not so subtle in my case. It was like he hit me with a 2x4 upside the head. He was getting my attention and drawing me into him. There's that grace of God as he reaches his hand to us and draws us in to him that we experience, every single one of us, as we come to know the Lord. Grace has to do with receiving what God is giving. Grace has to do with God giving what we haven't earned. God freely gives it. And he doesn't expect any of us to do ministry alone. He is there through his grace. He's provided the Holy Spirit. He's given you gifts to do the job. And he's given you provision so that you learn how to do the job. He's providing for your ability to minister. Yesterday at the funeral, we talked about Sherry Walker and how she was keenly aware of God's grace. You know, she would just say, I'm so thankful. And, you know, tears would come to her eyes. And every time, she had this aware of being in God's hands, this outpouring of grace that God has given us. And it leads us to the rest. Let's drop down to verse 11. It says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. Every single one of us in this room has a calling. All of us. Every single one. And every calling has a purpose that fits the rest of the body. But these particular people were drawn out or given to the church for a very particular reason. They were part of God's provision to help you answer your call to ministry. The call to be Jesus in the world. Literally his body, so that people can see and meet Jesus. If people are going to have a come to Jesus moment in their lives, it's going to come through you and me. That's how people meet Jesus. Jesus doesn't hit them with a bolt of lightning from above. You know, that Damascus Road experience that Paul had, as far as we know, it's pretty unique. The rest of us meet Jesus through other people. I was introduced to Jesus through a couple who were serving God. You know, they were loving God. And I saw that and I was drawn to that. And the Holy Spirit used that to draw me into the kingdom. And you and I will meet Jesus through each other. And the people out there, they're going to meet Jesus through you. Now watch what comes next here. This next bit, this first part of verse 7, is the job description for this list of people up here. This is what it says. It's really short and sweet. It says, to equip his people. God, it says, Christ himself gave these people to equip his people. I really enjoy sometimes digging in and seeing, you know, what some of these words mean. And it's interesting the choice that Paul uses as he's talking in this body, because he uses words, for example, here he's using this word equip, and the word equip is used in surgery. The word equip means to set right. That's its literal meaning. It means to reset a bone that's been broken. In other places in the New Testament, it's used to suggest the repairing of a net, or the finishing of a net that isn't finished yet, that you've started but you haven't completed. It's used there as well. And in the New Testament, it's used often for this word equip. Sometimes it uses the word prepare. Aside from the spiritual gifts, it says that Jesus himself has given these people as God's provision to help fulfill your calling, to help complete what has been started, to complete what isn't done yet, to help with, you know, we're broken. There's that sense of needing to be fixed. We're part of that fixing process. We're part of that putting together that body. And he uses this symbol of the body all the way through. You know, by the time he gets to the end, he's talking about ligaments that hold everything together. And, you know, this is Paul's illustration of what the church is. So we have the evangelists, or the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. And he gave them to the church in the same way, same language, in which he gave spiritual gifts to be tools in your toolbox so that you can do the ministry of Jesus, the ministry that he called you to, so that you have the right tools for the job. When I worked in disaster relief for a brief time, for about 18 months, I had to carry a lot of gear when I went out into the field. It was my job to capture a lot of video, to do photographs, and then we take a lot of that stuff back, and we raised a lot of money to help build houses, and we built a lot of houses. As I was out in the field, I had to carry things like, so many different things. I needed all these pockets, you know, so here I have this photo vest, and over here I have room, I have a lens pocket, that'll hold a telephoto lens right there. I have a zippered pocket on this side, I used to keep a video camera in that side, and then I kept a compact camera in the pocket on this side, and then I would have a flashlight clipped on there. And I would have extra lenses besides that, I would have extra discs for the camera, I would have another camera strapped on, these little epaulets at the top would keep my camera from falling off as we were moving through some rough area. And I had so many different things in here. I might have a couple of power bars, there's a little hidden pocket in the back. I always had a map in there of the area that we were going through in case we got lost. And I had extra paperwork that we had for people to get signed. And this thing got pretty heavy. There was a lot of equipment that was carried. I started carrying two cameras because on a previous trip after Hurricane Charlie, I tripped on a piece of broken concrete where there had been a tornado go through, and I fell. And I had my camera out in my hand, and it was a compact style, you know, where the lens slides in and out for telephoto, and it was all the way out, and it hit the concrete and mashed it. And there I was, out there trying to do my job, taking videos, writing stories, and I had smashed my camera, and I had no backup. Thankfully, it was only a day or two before we were going home, and I could get more. And I learned to carry the equipment that I needed in order to do the job, and I had lots of backups. Well, what these people, the pastors and teachers and all these people that are doing, what we're doing is we're trying to give you the equipment that you need when you're in the field. The equipment that you need to do the job. So that when you get into a certain situation, you don't go, I don't know what to do. You get to that certain situation, you go, oh, okay, I read that in my Bible. I know where that is. I know what that's applying to. I know what that's all about. I know where that comes from. As a pastor, I'm one of the people on this list, and I can't speak for some of these other spots because I don't have these other callings. But I do have a calling as a pastor. I'm one of the people on this list. And the Greek language here pairs the pastor and teacher in the Greek language. And so there's a suggestion, most scholars believe that it's supposed to be like a hyphenated word, like pastor-teacher, because you can't really be a pastor without being a teacher. My primary function as a pastor-teacher is to equip you or to prepare you. A lot of people think differently about a pastor's primary function. A lot of people think that a pastor's main calling is to feed people, to feed the flock. Well, think about the word pastor. The word pastor is equal to the word shepherd in the Greek language. You know, I think we pretty much accept that, right? So what does a shepherd do? Does a shepherd feed the sheep? Have you ever seen a shepherd feed a sheep? He doesn't, does he? He takes his sheep to a pasture where they feed themselves. He doesn't go to the pasture with the sheep and pull up the grass and stick it in their mouth. He doesn't take the grass and pick it up and chew it in his own mouth to help them get it digested. I know, it sounds silly, doesn't it? But that is kind of how we think about pastures. You know, we want our stuff pre-digested sometimes. But it doesn't work that way. And the pastor's job is to watch over the sheep, to protect the sheep as best that he can, to, if they wander, to try to bring them back. You know, that's the shepherd's job, to bring them into the fold at night where they're protected. If you ever want to light up a pastor, you really want to get them up tight. You know, and for years, I guess I'm just getting old and cranky, but for years, I would just ignore this and say nothing, and now I'm more likely to respond when somebody says something like that. But when somebody says to me, I don't feel fed. It just is like, you'll get that blank stare from me and from most pastors, because it's the opposite of what's supposed to be going on. You know, people say, well, you aren't feeding me, or I'm leaving this church because I'm not being fed here. And I've heard those things, and it just lights up a pastor. You don't want to know the inner dialogue that's going on in here when we hear those words, because it ain't pretty. It is not the pastor's job to feed you. It is the pastor's job to equip you, to teach you how to feed yourself. Amen? Amen. Only babies need to be bottle fed. Isn't that true? You know, I've seen that. My Uncle Godfrey had a sheep farm in England, and I've seen them, you know, where a baby is born and it's not breastfeeding properly. So, you know, I've seen the shepherd with bottles and feeding the sheep so that they will grow enough until they can feed themselves. And Paul has a lot more to say on that subject if you want to read up on it. But we're going to move on from there. What are we equipping for? What are we equipping you for? What are we getting you ready for? Well, Paul says, for works of service. So let's back up for a second here. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service. Whose people? Not my people. To equip God's people, right? Isn't that what that's suggesting? That's what that's all about? Well, who are these people anyway? They're you. They're you. We're provided to equip the members of the church, and Paul is talking about you. The root of the word for service here, it says for works of service, the root of the word is the same word as we use for the word deacon. Well, what do deacons do? They do a lot of people care. They care for other people. They provide for, often for those who have needs, you know, they provide for the poor, and they watch over the body, and they care for the group that they're assigned to. And guess what? We're called to do some deaconing, every one of us to do some deaconing, which means that we're doing works of service for others, to serve others for the sake of Jesus. Serving others is not an inconvenience. Serving others is a calling. It's part of who you are. It's part of what God calls you to. Now, some, you know, stand out in that group. You know, there are some I look at and I go, wow, what a great servant of God. But they're just an example of what we're supposed to be doing, right? We're supposed to be servants of God. Well, where does this lead? God's calling and God's provision always lead to God's intention. And what's God's intention? So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And there's a word mature here. The word appears again below the word mature. It means to be a fully grown person. Now think of Paul. He's talking about the body as an example of this is the church. This is who we are. All together we form the body of Christ. He says to be mature, we are to be this fully grown person together, to be the body of Christ, to grow up in Jesus. All of us with our faces pointed to the North Star, pointed at Jesus, and growing into his image, to have the full measure of the fullness of Christ. To go back to my shortbread illustration from last week, you know, I talked about making shortbread and not getting all the ingredients in there, and it didn't turn out right. And you've had that experience when you're baking, I'm sure, if you didn't get everything in there, doesn't turn out the way that you intended. But when we get all the ingredients together, we get something tasty. And that's what God is doing with his body. He's putting all the ingredients together so that at some point, someday, all those pieces will be together, complete after we know Jesus. But in the meantime, we are being completed. And as we work together, we're more complete than we are alone, right? We can do more things together. This passage finishes with this paragraph. We read this at the beginning of last week, but let me just reiterate. It says, then, when we are together, when we're being knitted together, when we're becoming that body or becoming mature or growing up in him, then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him, talking about Jesus, him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. What's the last line? As each part does its work. You know, the world is broken, but Dr. Jesus is fixing it, and he's doing it through us. Dr. Jesus is putting us together as the body of Christ, healed and whole, so that we can draw others into that body so they too can become whole and have this eternal relationship with God. That's what he's called us to do, as each of us does his or her part. Lord God, help us to hear and accept this calling that you've given us. We submit ourselves to your will. Help us to receive your provision and be responsible for accepting your equipment for service. Help us to feed ourselves, to make ourselves available to you, and help us to fulfill your intention. We are your servants, and we desire to reach the world for Christ together as your body. Enable us to do so, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand.